One of the newest members of Parliament is getting quite a reaction over delivering or after delivering his maiden speech. Trent Zimmerman is the new federal member for North Sydney after claiming the seat in a by-election late last year. He's the first openly gay member of the House of Representatives. And Mr. Zimmerman has used his maiden speech in Parliament to advocate for same-sex marriage to be made legal.
While we have made great strides, discrimination remains and too many people are prepared to peddle prejudice. Our laws still deny access to marriage, our society's ultimate expression of love and commitment. Young gay men and women are more likely to suffer depression and other mental health issues. They are more likely to be bullied at school. More are likely to attempt to take their own lives, and tragically, some will succeed.
And he's also called for fixed four-year terms for federal MPs to avoid the distracting speculation about election timing. Enough about talking about him. Let's talk to him. Trent Zimmerman, the federal MP for North Sydney, is on the line right now. Thanks for your time.
G'day, Warren. How are you?
Good. Well, congratulations belatedly for your election win. And obviously, now you get the maiden speech in Parliament. And you have used it to make a couple of important points to you. They're very important points.
That's right. And I think the maiden speech, your first speech, is the opportunity to say something about yourself, what motivated you to run for Parliament, and also what your priorities will be as a parliamentarian. So that's what I sought to do yesterday.
Now, let's talk about the idea, of particularly of same-sex marriage, etc. I mean, this has been talked about increasingly over the last couple of years, and in part that's because other countries have moved ahead of us. Ireland was one in point. Are you frustrated by the lack of progress?
Well, it's something I'd like to see happen sooner rather than later. I'm not so much concerned about what the rest of the world is doing. I think that we need to decide these things in according to Australian values, and I think that most Australians support the concept of a fair go and letting people live their own lives how they want to. And for me, it's important that people who are in same-sex relationships have the opportunity to express their love in the way that society recognises as the most enduring and important form of commitment, which is marriage.
Are you happy with what the policy is so far, the plebiscite down the track?
Well, look, if I'd been in the party room at the time, I would have argued for a free vote. I think it is a decision that the Australian Parliament could make, but we're going down that path and we'll have the plebiscite sometime after the next election. So I'll certainly be out in the community talking to my constituents, but also talking about why I think that same-sex marriage is a reasonable and fair proposition.
Yeah, I guess the one thing about the plebiscite is that at least there can be no argument about what the Australian public thought.
That's right, and I think it's very clear that the Parliament will respect the outcome of that plebiscite. And my gut instinct, and we'll have the debate, but my gut instinct is that a majority of Australians will support same-sex marriage in that plebiscite.
And Coalition MP Warren Entsch, he's been supportive. Obviously, we saw the rainbow tie.
he's a great mate, and I think it's interesting having an advocate like that, a pretty wild crocodile farmer from North Queensland, who's really become one of the biggest advocates for same-sex marriage. But he's done that because in his electorate, he knows people that are in loving relationships, but wonder why they can't have access to marriage in the way that everyone else can.
Well, I mean, isn't it wonderful that we've got to the stage now where you can be open about your sexuality and it's no longer as I won't say it's totally without controversy, but certainly people aren't dropping drawers like they may have decades ago.
I think that's right, and I'm frankly pleased that I'm here as a Liberal Party member, as the first openly gay member of the House of Reps. I'd like to see the day when a person's sexuality isn't even something that's commented on.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't want to be defined by the fact that I'm gay. My job in the Parliament is first and foremost to represent the residents of North Sydney in this place. But it is who I am, and I'm hoping that my election will send a message to people who might be struggling with their sexuality that it shouldn't be a barrier, that you can be gay and even be a member of the Australian Parliament.
And I guess once we get the plebiscite out of the way, and let's presume that we end up with same-sex marriage, that's surely going to push further to that point you're talking about where it's not an issue.
I think that's right. We just need to get to the stage where people of any sexuality can feel comfortable about taking public office or playing any other role in our society.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get to that other point, because I think this is an important one. I'm very much with you on this. The idea of fixed four-year terms for federal MPs. Now, we've done it in state parliament in New South Wales. Why not in federal parliament?
Well, that's exactly right. I think the barrier, to be honest, has been what you do with the Senate. So senators have terms that are twice as long as the House of Representatives, and some people have balked at the concept of electing someone for 8 years to the Senate. But my view is that it is so important that we move to times, then that's a price that we might have to be prepared to pay. Because you're right, most states, in fact, every state, I think, bar Queensland now has four-year terms. Overseas, if you look at Europe, some of their terms are even longer. So in the UK, for example, it's 5 years. But what I'm concerned about is the fact that the natural cycle of democracy and politics, and it's not a criticism, it's just a way of life, means that if you're a new government, you spend the first year learning the ropes and finding your way, then you have a year of government, and then the final year just becomes overwhelmed by election campaigning and posturing. So it means that in 100 years, you might have 33 years that's lost because of the political cycle.
I think there's also the case, and this would be more so, I think, the examples of Labor than the coalition, but yeah, let's put that aside for a moment, that the case that a government can try and do too much too soon because of how short the term is, and yeah, as you're pointing out, they've only got that limited window.
That's right, and I think that with 3 years, a lot of people say that it means that a government can try to only do one big thing, and we have a number of challenges as a nation that need to be addressed, and I think that we need to be able to give governments the opportunity to be reformers, to make the changes that we really need, to make sure that we have the prosperity we enjoy today for long into the future.
Do you think there's also the fact if we have a fixed four-year term, using our New South Wales example, we know when the election date is going to be once the government's, or we finish the election's over, we know when the next date's going to be. Do you think if you do that as well, there can be less of playing the system, so to speak, about when you call an election?
I think it provides more certainty. And if you're accepting the principle that 4 years is a good time to govern, then it makes sense to make sure that governments aren't tempted to go after 2 or 3 years.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for your time and good luck with the future.
Thanks, Warren. Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure. Liberal member for North Sydney, Trent Zimmerman. He replaced Joe Hockey with that by-election and his maiden speech this week, obviously addressing the issue of same-sex marriage. And also, what do you think about that? The fixed four-year term for federal MPs. I think it works with state governments. I really do. So why not have it in federal government? And then you know when the election's going to be. No one can play the system about, you know, running to the end or maybe calling an early election. I suppose you'd still have to have it open for a double dissolution. Otherwise, you can end up with the country coming to a halt because of an unworkable parliament. But as long as you've still got the possibility of a double dissolution parliament or an election being called that way, why not have fixed four-year terms? 131873.